Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
How many of you are enjoying the day today? Amen. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And let's just take a moment just in prayer. Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit to speak to us today, to bring revelation to us today. And, you know, if you're online, the Holy Spirit works in your living room or your car or your workplace just the same as he does here. Praise the Lord. So let's just agree together that God, that the Holy Spirit would just move today. Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence in this place today, that your presence is moving, bringing revelation today. We thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is to open up to that, and you are there, that we don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops, but that it is just a simple gift, and what a blessing that is. You're always faithful, and we thank you for your faithfulness. And so we open up our hearts and our minds to you today. I ask that you would speak to us, that you would change us. Lord, today, we want to know you better. We want to know you better today. We say, just draw us closer to you today. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Version. And a lot of us have heard a scripture like this, but it says, "Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, not on things that are on the earth." A lot of us, it'll say, you know, set your minds on heaven, not on earth, or set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I love how the Amplified kind of helps remind us how you set your mind on something, right? How do you set your mind on something? Well, you keep focused habitually. You make a habit of it. And I think that that is so powerful for us today, because many times have you ever read a scripture and you're like, oh, that's nice. I love how the Amplified just reminds us, this is how you do it. You make it a habit to focus on the things of God. And when I read that, I asked myself, I was like, do I make it a habit? And for me, and for a lot of us, probably the better question is, how often do we make the habit of thinking of the things of God? Because I would probably say that a lot of us, if not all of us in the room watching online live stream, we do make a habit of thinking of the things of God. But the question is, how often do we do it? Because we're here right now in church, we're probably all making a habit of thinking of the things of God, right? You come in, praise and worship, and it just kind of creates a focus point right off the bat. And there's power in that. But then what's going on Monday and Tuesday, right? What's going on Thursday? Those are the things that ultimately, that's where the rubber meets the road. And when we talk about our relationship with God, what is our relationship with God? It's knowing him deeper. And you could be the smartest scholar in the room. You could be the smartest scholar in the world. You could know scripture better than anyone. You could even have it memorized front to back. You could be the greatest theologian that the world has ever known. But if you don't know the Father, to be really frank, what does it matter? Knowing him. And how do we know him? Well, this is one of the ways, habitually focusing on him. Also look at that as getting in his presence. Casting everything else aside and putting your focus on him. And I would say for a lot of us, this is like, yeah, this is kind of like 101 stuff, right? Christian 101. You ever hear stuff, you're like, yeah, I know that. And then you think about it and you're like, I know that. Am I doing that? And so today, yes, this is definitely a basic piece of Christianity, but I think it's important to talk about because we're going to look at a scripture in Acts chapter 17, and it's Paul speaking in Athens. And Paul comes into Athens. I'm going to give you just like a quick backstory. Paul comes into Athens, and in Athens are all these idols everywhere. And Paul walks in, and he's like, what is happening? And it says that he was troubled by it. He was troubled by all these idols, and he addresses it. And the interesting thing about this whole moment is Paul was on his way to somewhere else. Paul was on his way to Corinth. He was just in Berea with the church in Berea. And before that, Thessalonica. And then he finds himself in Berea. And just like everywhere Paul went, he made a ruckus, right? Paul was known for making a ruckus. I love it, all right? Every time Paul came on the scene, he was bold and he preached. And then some people were like, yeah. And then some guys were like, hey, buddy, you're messing with what we, our agenda, get him out of here. And so the Berean church is like trying to get Paul out of here, and he's on his way to Corinth, and while in Athens, he preaches this message. And why is that important for us? I think it's really important for us, because many times we are waiting till we get to the destination to allow God to work through us. I'm going to let that just sink in for a minute. But what I love about Paul is he's living this example, because later Paul will write this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 to the Colossian church. But we see an example of this in this moment of Paul, where he's on his way to Corinth. He's on his way there. He's got a mission. Okay, he knows God is sending him there, but on the way, he still has his mind on the things of above, and he recognizes, hey, I've got to do something. And that's really powerful for a lot of us, because for many of us, God has called us to do many great things, great plans, great purpose, and sometimes we're waiting for that thing, and we're missing so much that is right now. And how do we keep from missing those moments? By setting our minds habitually on the things of above. Amen? So let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 17. I love the book of Acts. How many of you love the book of Acts? It's amazing. This is the start of the early church. And I love Acts 2 because the disciples are figuring it out, right? And it's slightly messy. You ever notice that? You read Acts and you're like, wow, this is slightly messy. Something interesting is going on. What's happening? You read certain pieces, you're like, wow, that could have gone better, okay? But through it, God always shows up. Isn't that powerful? For all of us overthinkers in the room, we said amen, all right? Because if you're overthinking, trying to figure stuff out, sometimes you just have to be obedient, and you have to go and trust that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Amen? And what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, hey, I'm going to go, but there's a helper coming. Amen. And what does the helper do? You remember that? Jesus says that. He said, it's going to bring remembrance of what I have said and what I have done. And so when you read Acts, you'll find that many times the disciples, when they start speaking or preaching, that's what it is. It's a good formula for us to remember as well. So, okay, Acts chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 16. And it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. And so he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be here. And I read this and I wonder if Paul was to walk into our world, what he would say. This is very relevant for our day and age. Would you agree? That's very relevant. Think about the things all throughout our culture that are idols. And we may not formally worship them, meaning that we don't formally put it on a pedestal in some temple and we congregate together to worship it. But our culture today has many idols that they worship, but they make a bigger priority than God. And some of it is extremely carnal. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's not of God at all. And there are other things that are religious that have set themselves up as idols against the kingdom of God. And it's important for us as Christians to recognize and be aware of those things. The Bible says that the lion, he's walking around like a roaring lion. I always like that it says like. In your face, devil. He's not a roaring lion, but he roars, he tramples, he's coming around, he's stalking like he is something. But if we've got a real look at him, he's just a little baby chihuahua, okay? Amen? And he's got nothing on our king. He's got nothing. For 3 days, the devil threw everything they could at Jesus. They couldn't touch him. He broke through everything that they threw at him, and he arose victorious. And yet the enemy still does the same stuff over and over again. Here we are over 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years later, about, maybe a little less even, but about 2,000 years later from when this was written, and what's going on? Same kind of stuff. Idols. And obviously for us, in our culture today, it looks different, right? Technology is a huge part of that. And technology, obviously, it can be used as a gift to honor God, right? I mean, we're using live stream right now. We have this incredible audience that we're able to reach, that we're able to bring into our church service, to be able to be an extension of our church family. And that's an incredible blessing. But the same kind of technology can be used for something entirely different, right? And have you ever found, too, that there can be things that are still, they're good in nature, but if we allow them to take precedence over God, you know what I mean? What I'm talking about? I'm like, well, I'm looking at something. It's not bad. It's actually talking about God. Yeah, but you've been doing it for 4 hours. Have you spent time with him? Or just spent time with this device, right? I'm stepping on toes. It's okay. My toes hurt too. It's okay. Don't worry, all right? But what are we talking about today? Because Paul's going to get to the root of some stuff today. We're going to talk about it as well. But if you haven't caught the underlying theme, it's, are we taking time to spend time with him? Are we getting to know him? The thing that separates Christianity from every worldview that's out there is the fact, the truth, the reality that we can have a personal relationship with him. So are we doing that? Are we having a personal relationship with him? Are we having a deeper personal relationship with him? Are we growing that? Are we building that? Okay, that was just the intro to Acts chapter 17. Okay, let's go on. Verse 18, it says, he also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, what's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he picked up? Others said, he seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. Then they took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. You're saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. In verse 21, it says, and it should be explained that all the Athenians as well as the foreigners in Athens seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So familiar. So familiar. There's a lot of ideas out there, and they're proclaimed to be truth, and they're not. And one of the challenges that we deal with today is deciphering truth from untruth. And it's very important. And the greatest way, the greatest thing to test things is through the Holy Spirit and the voice of God. How do you learn the voice of God? By spending time with God. And so we're finding everything hinges on what? Our personal relationship with him. Our personal relationship with him. Okay, verse 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. I love Paul. I love this moment because Paul identifies what's happening. He like breaks it all down and just the Holy Spirit through him just like connects it. It's really powerful. So here's all these people and what are they? They're searching for a God that will meet the need that they truly need. And all the other gods around cannot do that. So what do? They set up a shrine for some unknown God in hopes that he exists. And not even knowing his name, they begin to worship it. And Paul comes, he's like, the one that you're worshiping, the one that you're searching for, the very thing that you want, the very thing that you desire, it is Jesus. And I think about that for our own life. As Christians, this can be very true. Because remember, in this moment, he's not just speaking to Gentiles. He's also speaking, who else is in the room? Jews and God-fearing Gentiles. Interesting. So all this is going along around them. And so they're being a part of this as well. And so for all of us, it's going to be a great wake-up call, right? In our lives, what are things that we're doing that we're not acknowledging him for? Because it would be very easy in our life to forget where we came from. And you can't do that. You cannot forget where you came from, forgetting what God has done in your life. Think about what God has done in our lives. Think about the testimony of our salvation. I think about what I was before Jesus, all right? I think about this. I think about the things that I've done without him, but I think about when he's a part of it. That's important. For some of us, we've been believers for a long time. We've been Christians for a long time. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, though, right? We've had our moments, right? Our lapses, if you will. And I think about how life was there, but then how life is with him. And it's important to remember where you came from. Never forget that. Let's go on. Verse 24, he says, he is the God who made the whole world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples and in human hands. Human hands can't serve his needs. He has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. And his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us. In verse 28, a scripture that a lot of us know, for in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. And again, I just go back to, you know, he's preaching to many people that are not Christians, but then he's also preaching to God-fearing Gentiles and Jews. And he's addressing the fact that, hey, stop making idols out of stuff. Stop making these things. And why don't you realize and recognize who God really is and have a relationship with him? How powerful is it that our existence is tied to God? Again, maybe a very basic thing, but it's the reality that our existence is tied to God. Even when we don't serve God, our existence is tied to him. He gave us breath. He gave us life. That's who God is. We say those things all the time, that God is the breath in our lungs. He's everything to us. But then there are other things that we allow to take precedence in our life. There's other things that we run to instead of him in life. And for me, I was thinking about where is God in the priority of my life? And there are certain aspects of our lives that God is top priority. And then there are other things that when certain issues happen or certain things happen, other things are a priority. You know, when we're sick, do we run to medicine first? Or do we run to God first? That's a reality. That's a real thing. And obviously, I hope you realize I'm not saying that medicine's bad or doctors are bad. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying it's truth. If God is not the first, what are we doing? Just to be really frank about it, God needs to become the priority, the first thing that we choose in our life. When a situation arises, when a problem arises, where does God lie on the priority list? And for many of us, we start to, as I say that, we're like, oh, yeah, there's maybe this part or this part. And I would encourage you, don't just ignore that, but listen to it. Because by changing those priorities, making it intentional, what are we doing? We're drawing closer to him. When we talk about setting our hearts, our minds habitually on the things of God, that's what we're talking about. I'm making it a very pragmatic way, right? I hope you're catching it. And the goal of today, I really sense the Holy Spirit is just simplifying a deeper relationship with him. Because how many of us know we can overcomplicate things very quickly? And today, let's just simplify it for a minute. If we were all to take, if you will, an audit of our life and say, okay, this part, God is the first one I turn to. This part, God is the second or the third. And I would encourage you to get very real with yourself and really say where he's at on the list. Okay, and then how can I start to make him the first one? How can I change that? I know that you've heard this from me before, but many of us have a default that we go to, and we have to change that default, right? When something happens financially, default, okay? From what we've been brought up in, our family life growing up, or how we watch people handle money or situations, we have a default, okay? Is the default honoring God, or is it not? Or is it partially honoring God? How many of us know that we want to start to aligning it to make sure that he is the number one priority? This is very real. And this can be, I use finances because that's probably the simplest thing we can all adhere to, right? Finances is like one of the biggest things. It's like one of the biggest challenges in life to fully surrender God to God. Because why? We're the one out doing the work, baby. All right, that paycheck has my name on it, all right? Okay, I did the work, I showed up, I clocked in, I was there, I, and we sound like a broken record, right? And so then when it comes to something happening, I, by my own strength, I've got to figure this out, I've got to go make more money, I've got to, sounds complicated. And how does everything change? I wanted you to just see how the Holy Spirit streamlines everything when we rely on him. Then everything in our life that we do is given to us by God, right? So then it just simply, the statement becomes, I am now a vessel being used by God. Let's just simplify it for a minute. And everything that comes in financially belongs to him. So every problem, every situation that occurs or arises is now up to him. It sounds a lot easier than everything else that I had just said before. Yeah. And again, I've shared this before, but for years I battled with this. We'd have a issue financially in our life, and I instantly go, I'm like, all right, let's figure this out. And I open up and start writing stuff out and budgeting, and I'm like, we're going to figure this thing out, right? Going to figure it out. And a few days goes by, and I'm like, man, what am I doing, right? I've thought about it. I've meditated on it. I've worried about it. I've freaked out about it for days. And then God's like, 2 minutes. I'm like, all right. And the next time it happens, what am I doing? The same thing. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? You know what I'm talking about? Like, how dumb do you have to be? Pretty dumb. John Way says, life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid. All right? My favorite John Wayne quote. But, you know, the reality is I had to start changing that. And I had to start reminding, what did I have to remind my flesh? I had to remind my flesh of the breakthrough that God made. It wasn't a breakthrough that I ever made, right? There was nothing special that I ever did. It was like, wow, Brandon, nailed it, right? It was always God doing something supernaturally, whatever it may be. And so I had to start reminding myself, every time something happened, it's okay. God will take care of it. It doesn't mean that I don't have to do anything, right? But it means that God will take care of it. And so, Charity and I jokingly, I mean, in the last month and a half, man, we have stuck it to the devil. Oh, baby, I just love it. You ever just like, you realize that there's an attack and you're just like, how's that feel, baby? You know? Just putting a little, sprinkle a little salt. I'm like, Satan, come over here. Psst, bam. How's that feel? Because when you start recognizing, if that is not part of God's plan for my life, then it is the enemy. How dare he tread on me? And as soon as you start to recognize that, it's like water on a duck's back. And calm and cheerful becomes your demeanor, okay? Calm and cheerful. Calm and cheerful. You guys, if you didn't hear the testimony of when my phone got stolen, it was great. I don't even know. Have I told that story? Oh, that's hilarious, right? God bless this little old lady. She accidentally stole my phone from the library and took it to Walmart. She had no clue. She took my and I'm like, I remember what happened. And I'm like, normally I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm just like, and Rosie's with me. And she's like, where's your phone? I was like, I don't know. It's not a big deal. We'll figure it out. And everyone else in the library is freaking out. They're like, do you know what this means? It's like, I guess not. I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. But those are, how's it? And we just had a few situations like this recently. You can freak out. What's that going to do? What is it going to do? Like, just think about it. What's it going to do? But I have to. It's what I've always done. I get stressed out. I have to worry about it. I have to think about it. I have to talk about it. I have to talk about it. I have to vent about it. Really? Do ya? Do ya? Do ya? Does that really help? Yeah, it makes me feel better. Does it make you feel better? Does it? Does it really? And again, these are all things that the world tries to tell you, right? The world has remedies for everything. Have you noticed this? Remedies for everything. And all of the things that actually work are what? They're rooted in Scripture, and it's still a cheap trick. It's not the genuine article. And what's the genuine article? It's the Holy Spirit, amen? And the genuine article at work in your life changes everything. Amen. All right. Let's close this down. Y'all ready? Verse 30, it says, God, this is Paul continuing, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging their world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. Amen. Verse 32, when they heard Paul, this is an interesting, as we close, this is a really interesting moment. Just cue into this moment, okay? Verse 32, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And I find this so interesting that out of this whole moment, there are three groups of people, right? There's one group of people that laugh. There's another group that say, wow, that's interesting. I want to hear more about it later. And then there's another group that believes and follows right then. You know, where do we lie? Where do we lie on that? Because in our relationship with God, we have to learn to fully trust him in the moment. And that is so hard, isn't it? That is a challenge. But how many of you know that when you do trust God in the moment, the outcome is so amazing? It's so amazing. It's less stressful. It's more peaceful. It works out better. And along the way, how many of you know you always learn something about the character of God? And I throw that in there today because remember, the Holy Spirit, I believe the goal today is to simplify a deeper relationship with him. when we are obedient, the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And you can read this throughout Scripture. There's all kinds of different examples of this. But when we are obedient to Him, not only does it go well with us, but He reveals pieces of His character in a deeper way along the way. And it draws us closer to Him. Think about this as an example for all of us in the room. We have all gone through challenges and struggles in life. And how many of you have done that with someone else? Going through a tough time with someone else, generally, all right, if you're on the same page, draws you closer to that person. Why? Because you learn what they're made of. You learn what they're made of. You first meet somebody and you're like, kind of filling it out. Like, can I trust this person? Is this person going to do what they said they were going to do? Are they going to follow through? Are they going to keep their commitments? All of these things. What happens when they're under pressure? All those kinds of things. You're watching those things. And so then when you finally, you know, because character, it's only defined when you're up against something, right? Do you find that with people? You really only know where someone's character is until you're up against something. And so you maybe had a friendship or relationship with somebody, and then you go through something hard together. And when you finish that, if you all stay committed, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but when you stay committed and you follow through and you come out the other side, you will say that you are closer with that person. Why? Because you saw what they were made of. They proved themselves to you. Isn't it amazing the grace of God that He does that for us? He doesn't have to do that. I mean, what a gift that is. God doesn't have to prove anything to us. He never has, He never will have to. And yet, when we turn to Him, we lean into Him in moments and in situations, He just always proves Himself to us again and again. And He reveals a side that we're like, man, that is so amazing. That is so beautiful. That is incredible. And then what does that mean? Then we are closer to Him. We have a stronger relationship with Him. So if we're going to simplify a deeper relationship with God, again, one of the key components is obedience right away. And how do we have obedience right away? I think it goes back to our first scripture, Colossians 3:2, to set your minds habitually, focused habitually on the things of above. And I'll bring it back again one last time with Paul. He's on a journey to Corinth, and he finds himself in Athens, just en route to where his destination was. And yet, I believe because he was focused on things above, his eyes were open and ready to be used by God. And I guarantee you 100% that when Paul left Athens to go to Corinth, his relationship with God was stronger, deeper than when he came to Athens. And for me and my relationship with God, I know all of you in the room, those of you watching on live stream, that's a desire of your heart. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be watching if it wasn't a desire of your heart to know God deeper. Why would you come to church if you didn't want a deeper relationship with God? And for all of us, if we want that, it's a very simple blueprint today, right? Be obedient right away. Before your obedience, though, set your heart, your mind on Him, focused on Him habitually. Changing some stuff so that you're spending more time with Him. Amen? Amen. Well, let's just close today. Just take a moment. Let's just stand up for just a moment. Let's just focus on Him. Shake it out for a minute. Y'all been sitting for a while. Let's just set our hearts on Him today. Let's just begin to focus on Him today. Let's let the Holy Spirit work today. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit in this room. Father, we thank you that you are moving on our behalf all the time. That you are doing things that are beyond our reach, beyond our understanding, because that's a God that you are. And today, we just humbly come before you, wanting a deeper relationship with you, deeper relationship with who you are, to understand you and who you are better. And we thank you, God, that you are no respecter of men, that you see everybody, you love everybody, and your revelation is for everybody. And we thank you for that today. And if you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus, and you've never started that journey with him, you just lift up your hand and say, that's me today. Anybody in the room today that wants to start that journey, to begin that relationship with him? If you're online, I can't see your hand, but I'm going to give you a chance to say a prayer with me. And just if you're a believer in the room, as always, let's just say this just to encourage the people in the room saying it for the first time or online. The incredible thing is when you say this prayer, it's just simply, it's maybe the first time that you change the priority list in your life. That more than likely the priority list, you know, stated you at the top or maybe another person or something. And today you just simply put God on the top of the list today. And now you begin to change. And so you just say this prayer to him today. Say, dear Jesus, I need you. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your son to die for me on a cross that I deserved. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new creation. And today, I recognize that you are the number one priority, that everything else comes second. Make me new. Do what only you can do. And I thank you that today you are my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Now for all of us, as we continue just to focus on him today, I would just encourage you to take just a moment, and let's just take an audit of our life. For just a moment. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, and he very well may have already revealed some stuff to you, but let's just take a moment, and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to give us one or two places in our life where he's like, hey, this should change. You're spending a little bit too much time doing this. In these moments, I'm not the first person you come to. I'm not the first that you come to. Let's just take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us today, to reveal that stuff. Holy Spirit, we just want to be obedient to you today. And as you brought things to our mind today of what we need to change, what we need to fix, we want to honor you today. We want to be obedient to you. And so whatever that looks like, whatever that means, we're going to be rapid in our response today. If we got to change some things drastically, we're going to change it drastically. But we're going to be obedient to you. And we thank you, God, that you are so faithful that through this, we will be drawn closer to you, that we will have a deeper relationship with you, that we will understand who you are and your character better because of it. And I thank you, God, that today as we look at these things, you're not mad at us, but that your desire is for us to have a better life. And we thank you that we do in you. We thank you, Father. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen. And I would just encourage you, rapid response today, okay? A rapid response. It's never easy, but I believe it's crucial in our obedience and our walk with him. Amen. We're gonna formally dismiss. We'll turn on some music, but if you want to come down front, if you'd like prayer for anything at all, Pastor Cherry and I would love to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, if you need somebody to stand in faith with you in anything at all, we know and believe that God is our healer and our provider no matter what. Amen. If you're online, thanks so much for joining us, and we will be back here next week. Have an awesome, awesome week. All right.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.